Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, Advent season is almost upon us, and there's no other name for God that quite depicts the season like Emmanuel, God with us. You know, as we journey through the Advent season, we make room for our King. We prepare Him room in our hearts. We ponder the reality of His presence in our lives. And we learn to lean a bit more on Him, to bend an ear toward heaven, and to listen for what the still small whisper of God has to say to us. Or we get so caught up in the hustle bustle of the holidays, even as believers, we're counting the days till the holidays are over so we can focus on Jesus again. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can pause, be still, know that He is God, and experience Him in revelatory ways. Well, best-selling author Ruth Jo Simons joins me today to talk about her beautiful Advent book, Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always. Now, you probably know Ruth is a best-selling author, but she's also a spectacular artist. So you see her artistry and her words in this gorgeous hardcover Advent book, and really you could read it all year long. Now, I want to tell you, we got 5 copies to give away, but if you're a regular listener, you know in the last couple of days we're having trouble with our text line. You can text in, but the auto reply kind of misfires. So if you want to enter the drawing, you got to do it this way. Are you listening? Are you ready? Here you go. You go to myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com/book. And you can wait till the show's over to do that because we'll leave that drawing open knowing that things are a little tricky. We're working hard behind the scenes to get that thing fixed. Myfaithradio.com/book. And you can put Emmanuel or Ruth's book or whatever in the description and we'll know what you're talking about. A quick announcement before we hear from Ruth. We know we've got listeners all over our radio signals, all over the upper Midwest and Connecticut. And then we've got podcast listeners from 100 countries. It's absolutely amazing. But for those of you who are diehard radio listeners, especially those who are connected to your AM signal, you must know that as we head into the winter months, we need to power down. We have to by law, which will affect your signal, make it a little staticky. So we'd love to remedy that by encouraging you to download our free app. Go to the store, the app store, search Faith Radio Network. You'll find it there. It's free and you can listen loud and clear all winter long. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Ruth Jo Simons is Wall Street Journal best-selling and award-winning author of several books, including Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always, which we're talking about today. She's an artist, an entrepreneur, a speaker, using each of these platforms to spiritually sow the Word of God into people's hearts. Through her online shop at gracelace.com and her social media community, she shares her journey of God's grace intersecting daily life with Word and art. She and her husband, Troy, are grateful parents to, listen to this, 6 boys, their greatest adventure. Ruth, welcome back to the show.
I'm so glad to be here, Suzy. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. I told you before this show, the book is gorgeous. Congratulations. It must be for you as an artist and as an author to see these things come together. It's got to be so satisfying.
It really is. And I just love pairing beauty with truth. And so I just love being able to provide resources where folks can linger long on each page. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that is definitely the invitation. You can't rush by. You got to stop and ponder the beauty for sure. So we love to open the show every day kind of with the same question, but it's always so life-giving. What has the Lord been speaking to you about these days?
Yeah, well, pretty basic, and I really hope that I'm not alone here, but sometimes I get to the fall season and I just feel like, wow, I'm running on empty. And it kind of sneaks up on me and I don't realize that I am trying to produce or check things off my list or run from one place to another and I'm not filled up. And I've been really convicted about it recently because I'm realizing that I'm a high capacity production person. You can't be an author or an artist without, you know, creating things and creating them all the time. And, you know, I've just really been thinking about Colossians 3:16, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is the exhortation. And sometimes I think, oh, I read the word or I meditate on it a little bit here and there, but what about letting it dwell in me richly? And so for me, it's really the Lord's been showing me how I can talk to Him throughout the day. I can sing songs and speak hymns out loud as I go through my day, just to let it dwell in me more richly, like abide in me, so that I'm not walking around trying to separate my sacred and secular life as if they're separate, you know, like having time in the Word and then running on empty the rest of the day trying to knock things out, but go, okay, how do I commune with Him all day long? And so it's pretty basic, but I've just been really learning to walk with Him a little bit more closely and more intimately, especially when it's in a season of busyness.
It's the best remedy for busyness and for emptiness, isn't it? Just He's the one who fills us back up again. So good. Well, I'd love to know how you've journeyed through past Advent seasons. What's made it special for you?
Yeah, well, Susie, you know, I shared this in other pieces of writing, but I was born in Taiwan and immigrated to the United States when I was almost four. And my family, we weren't even believers when I was real young, and we're new to the United States and cultural things, and we were not actually even celebrating Christmas right off. And I didn't grow up with a lot of heirlooms or traditions or family recipes. And so, you know, as a mama later on, trying to learn how I wanted to instill like something special in my family culture, I actually really struggled and felt like I was always trying to gather things. I don't know if you ever feel that way, where you just, you know, you start looking at Target and going, I think I need all these things to help me celebrate Advent. And even if you know in your heart as a follower of Christ that it's really like Jesus is the reason for the season, but somehow on December 26th, you can come up feeling a little bit empty, or it could feel like one big crash of emotions, or you might come up disappointed. And so in seasons past, there have been really wonderful Advent seasons, and there have been times where I just wondered how it flew right by and did we miss the opportunity to celebrate? And so I'm a work in progress. Year by year, there are years where we have the candles lit and we gather around, and there are times where we've not done a good job with that, and we've hustled and bustled through the whole season and found ourselves exhausted at the end.
Well, I appreciate that, because that's real life right there. That's family life. Wow. Well, in this book, Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always, what is your hope for readers when they get through to the other side? What do you want them to have experienced?
Yeah, you know, I think I wrote it because I wanted to have a journey where maybe others who feel the way I do, where it sometimes feels like we're revving up all this energy to celebrate this holiday and miss Jesus altogether, that somehow through the Advent season, we might discover that Emmanuel, God with us, he came so that we would never have to walk alone. That really, that is the hope all year round, that on December 26th and on January, you know, 25th or whatever it is, when we're kind of back into the daily grind, that we realize that all that wonder and hope and joy and peace of Christmas that we so long for are actually ours in Christ all year round. And it doesn't have to end and it doesn't go away. But Christmas is such a good time for us to recognize that the baby born in a manger didn't stay in the manger, right? That he ultimately came to save and to rescue us from ourselves, to rescue us from all the self-striving that we get caught up in all year round. And so my hope is that in this short amount of time that we call the Advent season, that we wouldn't just light the candles and make things special so that we could have a special Christmas, but that we would come on to the other side of the Christmas season and celebrate all the time that Christ is with us.
Amen, amen. And you say it all begins with a heart posture. Unpack that a bit more.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I'm just being really honest and I'm just starting with me, because I know that I can't even receive what I ought to receive in the Christmas season if the posture of my heart isn't right. If you know, I talk about the fact that posture is kind of like, well, physically we can think of, you know, the way we lean in or the way we're standing and the crooks in our necks. And if we don't hold the right posture, we find that we can't even engage in the activities that we want to engage in because our bodies are not set up right. And so in our heart posture, it's kind of the same way, where if we enter in the season anxious and stressed out and constantly comparing or feeling bitter or just already dreading expectations, that's a heart posture that will really make it impossible for us to receive what it is that God wants us to receive from him, because we're already making it about us and we're already making it about things that we think we can control. And so the very first week of this Advent devotional is really us addressing our heart posture, because I don't think we can even receive the promises of God until we assess the posture of our hearts.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that. What do we want? What do we bend towards with posture, and what do we want as far as heart posture as we enter this sacred season with a holy expectancy? We're going to pause here. But friends, I forgot to ask you to engage, and I'd really love for you to. What do you do in your holiday Christmas season to really make it sacred, to make it special, to really identify that Jesus is the reason of the season? I would love to know. Text in your thoughts and your ideas, 877-933-2484. Here again, 877-933-2484. Talking to Ruth Jo Simons about her book, Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always. It's a hardcover, gorgeous Advent Devo, but again, you could read it all year long and any time of the year, I should say. Because our typical text line, as far as you registering for a book, that won't work on our text line. We're getting that fixed. Want you to go to our website, myfaithradio.com/book, if you want to enter the drawing, and we'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Give me Jesus, oh, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, oh, give me Jesus. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're talking about Advent because the Advent season is just about upon us. Ruth Jo Simons joins me today. She's a best-selling author and artist, and she combines her art and her literary work in this gorgeous devotional, Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always. I'd love to enter you the drawing, and again, just thank you for your grace and patience as we work on the text line. You can text me, but if you text the word book, you won't get the link kicked back to you. So if you want to enter the drawing, you go to myfaithradio.com/book, and you can enter that way. And you were saying before the break, Ruth, about heart posture, that if our posture is all wrong, our heart posture, we're going to miss so much of what God has for us. So what is our bent? What does that look like on a practical level, and what do we want?
Yeah, I think, you know, the holiday season, the truth is we are all hoping for a sense of love and belonging. We are wanting things to be peaceful and right, and sometimes we're looking around wanting peace in our very homes with our children and with our family members. And then there are times when we have burdens that just cause us to feel stressed at Christmas because we want things to be right. And it's a time where it's really easy to start thinking we will make things, you know, go the way we want it to go. And so sometimes I find my heart posture one of expectations and worry and anxiety. And sometimes I feel like I'm all alone in the world, or sometimes I feel isolated and even envious of what other people have and thinking that I'm lacking so much. I'm just being honest and saying that those are some of the ways in which my own heart posture can keep me from believing who God says I am and what he's already done for me. And I find that if we enter into the holiday season with our heart posture so tight-fisted and hunched over, looking down constantly at what we have or don't have and stressed out about how we must control things, that tension, you can almost even feel it and see it in that posture. That posture of the heart is not one of freedom. It's not one of release. It's not one of trusting that God is who he says he is, and that this season is actually about his promises fulfilled. And so, yeah, that's why we really begin there in this Advent devotional, one where we really look at what is going on in our hearts, actually.
Mm-hmm. And what we want is that, a heart open to God, expectant of that he's going to move, remembering who we are. And, you know, I asked the question, I'm so glad to see our text. We have lots of text engagement during this live show, but it's been a little funky these days with the issues we've been having. So Mary just texted in. So I'm glad to know the text line is working. And she says she uses worshipful music during the holiday season to help her refocus. Mm-hmm. I do love that. You know, I was thinking, Ruth, that so often during the holiday season, it can amplify loss and heartache that some are walking through. You know, it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, and it is my favorite time of the year, but I've had some of our hardest crises overlap with the holiday seasons, and it almost mocks your pain, you know, where you feel like everybody looks so happy. Just watch Hallmark or these commercials, and you see this big gap between what you feel and what's actually real. But as you and I were talking before the show, but that's exactly who Jesus came for, what Jesus came for, the brokenhearted, those who need rescue. So talk about that dichotomy between just this expectation that it should look like a Christmas card or a Hallmark movie and really who Jesus came for, what he came to accomplish.
Yeah. You know, I think about how Jesus came to a world that, and a people that thought that they had expectations too, right? They thought that victory and happiness and a savior look like political success and being freed politically or being freed as a people. They didn't realize that this humble, this Christ born in a manger would come and ultimately save them from their greatest need, much more than just who ruled them, but ultimately who ruled their hearts. And I think about how what we're really wanting when we walk into Target and we start loading up those baskets and when we, you know, try to plan those family get-togethers and when we're decorating our homes, what we're really wanting is to feel joy, and we're really wanting peace, and we're really wanting to know a glimmer of, oh, it's actually really beautiful. This life is beautiful, but we don't need all those things to make that happen. We just believe and somehow think that it's going to be that way because that's the best we can do. And so in the same way, I think Jesus comes to surprise us and say, you might think that these are the things that you need to make yourself happy. Just like, you know, Israel really thought that what they needed was a political savior and someone who would take them and cause them to be their own ruling, governing, you know, country. But what they really needed, what they actually needed, was for a savior that would overcome and would give peace to their hearts and cause them to never, ever walk in the slavery to sin and guilt ever again. And so I think about how that is such a dichotomy, because what we want to do is fill our lives with lots and lots of things that will cover up the pain and just kind of smooth it over for now. And sometimes, you know, guilty as charged, sometimes we put, you know, decorations up at host parties or buy pretty outfits because we think that'll do it. And if you're honest and like me, you know, I mean, I don't think it'll ever satisfy. And so the truth is, short of knowing Emmanuel, God with us, the one who actually wants to come and dwell in us and with us forevermore, I don't know that we'll ever know the satisfaction and peace that only comes through Christ. And that was the first promise, and that is still the promise.
Amen. Amen. You write this in your devotional. The stories we tell ourselves about any season, especially the Christmas season, shape how we feel and act in response. If you expect Christmas time to make you feel good about your family relationships, you'll be disappointed. If you expect your spouse to read your mind about what makes a holiday special, you'll be disappointed. What we believe we're waiting for in this season affects our posture, and that in turn determines whether we are overjoyed or overwhelmed. And I love that we're talking about this right now, because this is kind of a preemptive thing. I'm not going to get baited into the hustle bustle, the stress of it all. I'm going to think about this. What is the story that I'm going to tell myself? So, you know, on your better seasons, what is the story you've told yourself so that you could go into a season with a presence of mind that Emmanuel's with you and keeping the main things the main things?
You know, the thing I have to tell myself pretty much the day, you know, November 1st comes around, and I don't know about you, but suddenly it's like, oh, we went from apple cider and apple cider donuts to it's Christmas, and now we're all behind. Like, somehow it feels that way, and we can easily buy into the feeling of, like, now I need to be stressed for all that we have expectations for. And so the story I have to tell myself over and over again is that it does not matter. Like, Jesus does not ultimately care about whether or not I host a certain party or I string up the lights a certain way, that if my heart is not, if I'm not communing with him, that I'm going to miss him altogether. And so the story I tell myself is ultimately the Jesus that I celebrate, who resurrected at Easter, on Resurrection Sunday, is the Jesus I'm celebrating right now. And so that reminder helps me realize, like, the gospel applies even now, especially now. The gospel and the great redemption story is even applicable right now. If I don't have a Christmas where I can spend any money on new decor, if I don't even get decor up because I have somebody, you know, there are those who are walking through an unexpected diagnosis this Christmas, and maybe they're going to be putting up just a few little lights and there's no tree that's going up. It won't matter. They will still have a Christmas if they know Christ, if they know the story and the ultimate hope of God with us. And so I think that's the story I keep reminding myself is, come what may, I can't control the circumstances that are going to happen. I can't control the headlines that are going to make the news and the things that are going to stress us all out, or me and my family out. Like, I don't know what's going to happen between now and Christmas, but I do know that I can choose to remember that Christ came not so that I would just have hope at Christmas, but that I would always know the hope of him walking in us and with us.
Amen. I've shared this story so many times on the show before, but my mentor 20 years ago said, Susie, make sure you know and understand the distinction between expectancy and expectation. She said, expectation is premeditated disappointment. When you're deciding the bullseye of the thing that has to happen and that God has to do it for you to be okay, you're deciding ahead of time to be disappointed because God is not bound by your dictates. But expectancy, she said, is living with a wide-eyed, open-handed wonder, saying, God is with me, and any day now, I'm going to see him break through. And you write about that too. You make that distinction. We just got about a minute and a half before the break, but I like this. You said, when we turn from expectations to being expectant, we'll never be disappointed because God never disappoints. What he promises, he will do. This isn't just a few letters in a word or semantics. I mean, it really, really is a radical shift to move from being having expectations to having an expectancy, right?
Amen. Yes. And I think it's a difference between thinking that you deserve more And concentrating and thinking on what it is that God's already done for me, and being so grateful for that, that you realize, like, everything he says he will do, he does. And now I can put my hope in him, not in myself.
So good. So I'm asking you guys to text in and tell me, what do you do to just make your Christmas season especially sacred and beautiful and focused on Jesus? David writes in, being in the church choir helps me to get ready for Christmas. We have such good songs this year with a full art orchestra, all for him. And this dear one says, a couple of traditions we've had in our family trying to make this season focused on Christ and the ways of Christ. One thing we do is celebrate St. Nicholas Day, 12/6, by anonymously giving a gift to someone. The second thing we do is go through the Advent devotional as a family. We read and then we eat the chocolate from the calendar. That's so fun. What do you do to make Christmas special? It's not too early to talk about it. It's right around the corner. Advent season is almost upon us. Talking to Ruth Jo Simons about her book, Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always. You can text. No, you can't. You can text me how you celebrate Christmas. You can enter the drawing on myfaithradio.com/book. We'll be back in a minute.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
You want a great Christmas album? Check out Danny Gokey's. It's fantastic. Susie Larson here for Susie Larson Live, talking to Ruth Jo Simons about her incredible, beautiful Advent devotional. It's titled Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always. It's gorgeous, hardcover. It just really shows and displays her artistry, her beautiful works of art, and her words. So she's got a wordsmith for sure. It's a 25-day journey. Again, because we're having a little problem with our text line in that you can't use the text line to enter the drawing. I just need to tell you how to do it. Go to myfaithradio.com/book and you can enter there. But I would like you to text me and tell me, what do you do at Christmas time just to set the stage, to make it sacred, to focus on Jesus? Text me 877-933-2484. Tammy says, we get ready for Christmas by attending a Christmas concert that's local in the area. Some years it's African-American Christmas concert or other Christmas ballets or the Christmas carol. Love that, Tammy. Thank you for sharing. Do you have any fun favorite things that you like to do, Ruth, with your big giant family?
Well, we recently moved a few years ago, and we haven't had the same traditions as we had when we lived in New Mexico. But when we were in New Mexico, there the streets are lined in the old town part of town in Albuquerque. The streets are lined with what are called luminarias, and they're like paper bags filled with sand and little lights. And so they're just beautiful. It's just a tradition to go walk around and to see those and experience the caroling down in the old town area. So we always love doing that. But recently we had an event for this book in Nashville, and we ended the night singing the refrain, "Oh, come, let us adore him." And that turned into, "For he alone is worthy." And you can hear it in your mind. But when you start the season off singing these hymns and the reminders that he alone is worthy, and that the goal of our hearts is to come together and adore him, then it really helps us not only set the tone or set the mood, but it really kind of helps me personally engage my heart in a way that reminds me that it's not about me, and it's not about my kids, and it's not even about Christmas itself. It's really about us remembering the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I mean, truly, when you think of how radical it is that he came to earth to set us free, you know, as you said in the book, he was on a rescue mission. And it is so sad how commercial things have gotten to the point where he's just sort of edited right out of the holiday. And we do love the holiday season. It is so fun. But boy, if you're not careful, you can lose sight of him altogether. And it was nothing commercial about that first Christmas holiday, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that's the reminder for us, right? That we must prepare him room, because we can be so cluttered in our hearts with so many things that it might be that we're going, there's no room here for you, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why we must really say, okay, let me take inventory. What am I so focused on? And what's taking up so much room in my heart and in my mind this season that it kind of makes it impossible for me to dwell on the mercies and the goodness of God? Mm-hmm. So that's an exercise we do regularly too, just to say, let's take inventory. What's cluttering our hearts and minds these days?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's good too to get on your calendar, make some plans not to have plans, because it's so much more enjoyable, I think, to enjoy the season where you just are home. You're like, nope, I can't. I've got plans not to have plans, and put on some instrumental music, sit down, read a book, light a candle, and just exhale.
Exactly.
Yeah. Judy says this.
I was going to tell you that that's one of my favorite tips as a mama to six. When people ask me, like, what do you, you know, how do you foster togetherness? Or I always say exactly what you just said, you know, put it on the calendar to not make plans, because some of the best conversations happen when there's time to linger, when you're doing the dishes together, or when you have time to sit around and eat dessert together, or just gather around the fire and just talk a little bit longer. And I think we underestimate how much formative good can happen when we make time to just be together.
Amen. Judy says, I love to play worship music and also light a candle, spend some extra time reflecting. That's beautiful, Judy. Ann says, filling 6 to 7 Operation Christmas Child boxes helps me to get into the season. I love it. How about you? Text me. Let me know. What do you do to make the holiday season especially focused on Jesus? 877-933-2484. One of the things, Ruth, you say is that you write about a spirit of generosity in this season. Unpack that one for us.
You know, I think it's just really easy for us to kind of measure things when it's a very commercial time of year, right? It's really easy to go, well, I'm lacking. I don't feel like I have enough, this, that, or the other. But the wonder of the season is that we have such abundance when we are in Christ. And the spirit of generosity is absolutely in the form of gifting and gifting and sharing our resources. But I think we sometimes underestimate how much when we are filled up in Christ, we have the abundance to share and to give of all that God's given us. That might be the ability to listen to somebody share their hurts. That might be the generosity of giving of our time. And that might mean just simple hospitality, really just allowing someone hurting to come over, even without, you know, a great meal planned or fancy decorations, just to be present with others. And I think if we would take a minute to think on all that we've been given, then we don't feel like we're lacking so much in the season.
Yeah, it's so good. For years on this show, we do something. I don't think we're going to do it this year for different reasons, but we called it the Great Giveaway. We advertised it, you know, just said, get ready and get out of your comfort zone and do some random act of kindness. And then we have a day where everybody kind of comes back from the mission field and calls in and tells us what happened. And all these people saying, if you wouldn't have shoved me out of my comfort zone, I would have lived a very self-focused Christmas holiday. And then we'd have two big gift baskets and kind of vote on the two most inspirational stories. But the things that people are willing to do for others when they just get up and get out. Like there was one guy who he gathered some friends together and they put together a party for a bunch of special needs kids so the parents could go out on a holiday date. So they did a whole Christmas celebrative party for these special needs children and sent these parents out. I mean, it's just humans, our capacity to notice people and be kind when we're just given a little shove is quite amazing. And that's in our DNA, wouldn't you say, Ruth, as far as God loved us so much that he gave his son. I mean, giving and generosity originated in the heart of God.
Yes, and he wired us in a way where our greatest joy comes from actually imaging him, right? So when we're image bearers, so when we image him and we reflect the character of God, that's actually us like stepping into exactly who he made us to be in our very best form. And so I think about how, you know, ultimately when we image the generosity, the kindness and the mercy of God, and that might be simple, small ways. It may not be that you can go, you know, buy something for everyone or treat everybody to something extravagant. It might mean just small acts of kindness or extravagant ways of being generous with your time and with your energy. When we do that, I think the joy comes flowing out of us because we are actually very much imaging exactly who God wanted us to be in him.
Very good. You write this, while the world clamors for material abundance, we who know Jesus have nothing to lose in our generous giving, nothing to gain that's more valuable than our redemption in Christ. We can stop counting up all that we think we lack and start living into all that we've been given on account of Christ. I want you to hear that again, because in a little bit, we're going to talk about the tendency towards jealousy in this season. We can stop counting up all that we think we lack and start living into all that we've been given on account of Christ. When we remember where our true treasure comes from, our posture changes from not enough to more than we deserve. That chokes me right up, because I think when your posture changes and your mindset changes, you realize you've been lavished beyond anything you can imagine, right?
Amen. Yep. Absolutely.
Wow, that's so good. All right, I'm going to read this text from this dear listener. I don't really have family, so holidays can be a bummer. The past couple of years, I've spent the season making big batches of soup to give away to friends and neighbors who might be too busy and stressed with their families to cook. So I wonder, Ruth, if you would pray for that person and for anybody listening who the holidays stirs up loneliness or loss or the sense, I don't belong, I don't have a place to go. Mm-hmm. Would you pray for her? And or I don't know, maybe it's a him, I think. But anyway, this dear person and others like them.
Absolutely. Dear God, I thank you for this dear listener whose heart is so generous that he or she would make a big batch of soup to bless others who might be hustling and bustling. And Lord, you know exactly the circumstances in his or her life. And I pray, Father, that you would show him that you are absolutely in his or her presence, that you are there, that you are an intimate Father who's near. We are not isolated and alone. Lord, I pray that you would bring friends and bring neighbors and bring people and community that would love on this person, that they would know and be showered by the hands and feet of Christ, that they would be shown the love that they've been showing others. And for all that are listening who feel isolated this season, who at the Christmas time it evokes feelings of family members far off or broken relationships or just being alone this holiday season. Lord, I pray that that longing and that ache would drive each of us who feel that way back to you, that we would cry out to you and ask for you to be our dearest and closest friend, because Lord, you promise that you will be, and that you are the one that made us for yourself. And so, Lord, we are so dearly loved, the ones who are surrounded by family members and the ones who are not. We are equally dearly loved by you, and you are accessible and near. Would you make that very apparent to this dear listener and to all those who are listening right now, that this would be a season that we would know God with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I just want to add that those who are lonely like this dear one would be invited by surprise. They'd be invited around somebody's table. And that those of us who have space in our table or don't, that we would make space in our table, that people would not be alone this year. We do pray for some Christmas miracles, that you would break through, that we would move. Some are living with an expectation, but others don't even want to be disappointed, aren't hoping for anything at all. But I pray you put hope back in their hearts and you'd surprise them with your goodness, Lord. We love you. We say thank you that you care about each and every soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So good. Well, thank you for doing that. We love to pray spontaneously when we see a need come up on the text line. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that nothing satisfies like Jesus. And when we get into jealousy and comparison, which so often happens because of competition and commercials and all those things that make us feel like we got to keep up. And suddenly, last year we loved our ornaments. This year we hate them because they're not like somebody else's. How we can enter a divine contentment in this season where we just really are expectant from God. We're taking our eyes off of the things that are so temporary and looking to Jesus to do a new thing in us, bigger than a new ornament, bigger than a new tree, but something new and transformative in us because he's God with us. Talking to Ruth Jo Simons about her book, Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christ at Christmas and Always. Again, if you want in on the drawing, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com/book, and you can enter the drawing there. 5 copies of this gorgeous hardcover to give away. And don't forget to text me and tell me what you do to make your Christmas special. Here's that number, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. With all the bad news out there, it's good to remember the good news, to get some encouragement every single day. Well, if you need a word of encouragement, we would love to connect with you on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we're even on YouTube. You know, we're creating encouraging posts every single day to help you focus on what really matters, to lift your chin, to help you remember that you belong to God and he loves you and he's committed to you. You'll find graphics, you'll find featured Bible verses, quotes from hosts and from our shows, articles about the topics you're interested in, as well as videos from all of our hosts. You can search Faith Radio on social media and find us today. We'd love to connect with you.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him a room in heaven.
That time again, friends. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Ruth Jo Simons about her book, Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always. She's a best-selling author and just a beautiful artist, and she combined both her artistry and her literary work together in this gorgeous devotional. We got 5 copies, thanks to Harvest House. It's this just a beautiful, like it'll look beautiful on your table, but content is great as well. If you want in on the drawing, you have to go to our website, myfaithradio.com/book. And I'd love love for you to text me and tell me, what do you do to make the holidays especially special? And this dear one says, I think it's Kim, says, hot cocoa, writing out Christmas cards, feeling gratitude for family and friends while listening to Christmas music. Love that as well. And Mary says, I understand. I have experienced being alone at holidays. Understand. Thankful for a new friend in our community to spend Thanksgiving with. Leah says she loves going to a live nativity. Amen, amen. Well, talk if you would a bit, Ruth, about our tendency for, again, this is what I love having this conversation now, is because we're preemptively making our plan for Advent season. Because if we're not, if we just go blindly sprinting into that season, we do get blindsided by stress, anxiety, commercialism, and even jealousy. So talk about our tendency towards jealousy, how it sneaks up on us.
Oh, it's so sneaky, isn't it? And yeah, now it's easier than ever, because whereas at one time we only got catalogs in the mail, now we just open up our phones and it's a constant barrage of the latest and the greatest and all the ways in which, as an artist, as somebody who loves beauty, it starts off pretty innocently, where I just want to get some ideas for how I want my table set, or what I'd love for my tree to look like, or how I would love my home to look. And Susie, I got to just tell you, I mean, after 30 minutes, I could suddenly want to wallpaper my whole house and change out all my furniture. I'm not even kidding. You know, it's mm-hmm. so easy to suddenly go, nothing is enough and nothing is okay, and I want everything new, and don't we need all velvet pillows now, you know? And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of joking, but I'm also just saying it's really easy, especially with Pinterest fast on at our fingertips, or social media, or just even being on Facebook and seeing what our friends are doing for the holidays and where they're going, and the travel and the parties. It's just so easy. And so I think in the human heart, we're just wired to, because of sin, it's just really easy for us to think that we deserve more, and we always are lacking somehow. And we are not wired to constantly remember that God has given us so much. And so it's really easy this time of year to compare. And I don't know about you, but I have to put some boundaries up with mm-hmm. like how much like time I spend on the internet. And like you said, preemptively decide in my heart where my joy is going to come from. Because then the little light will go off and I'll go, wow, that's one of those moments where you're putting your hope on everybody thinking you have beautiful furniture, or you're putting your hope on, where you're going to go for a vacation, when really I have to stop and say, okay, if none of those things, not that a vacation is wrong or new decor is wrong, all that, those are all blessings and joys. But if none of those things happen, am I still joyful in the Lord? And so that's a heart check for myself, for sure.
You said this: if joy is found in God's presence and eternal pleasures known through His provisions, we've got no reason to look and pine for anything else. Where you set your hope this Christmas season will determine how you find joy. We're made to know satisfaction in Christ alone, and nothing else will do. And, you know, also you talked about, so we're not even talking about just jealousy, but the idea of condemnation or fits of anxiety, trying to do too much, and where we just get into that stress mode where we got to do more than God has even asked, asking us to. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Yeah, so much self-imposed pressure, I think. And mm-hmm. again, I think all of that, you know, I like the word striving. I think I came on your show and talked about this in the previous season, but I like to say, you know, that striving is when we're anxiously trying to gain for ourselves something that we don't really trust God to provide for us. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing when we're hustling around, trying to do more or be more, or try to like be the best, sometimes it's about comparison, and sometimes it's just about us trying to get the happiness or the peace or the sense of self-worth that we think we have to get for ourselves by being the prettiest or the best or the best hostess or whatever it is that we think, you know, that'll satisfy us. And sometimes for us mamas, we fall into the trap of mom guilt, thinking that we got to just do it so much better if we're going to make sure that our kids are happy. And none of those things align truly with the heart of Christ, which ultimately is that we'll never be satisfied and we'll never find true joy if we don't turn our hope and our hearts to the treasure of who Jesus is. And that's, you know, that's pretty for us to say, Susie, and for us Christ followers, we know that to be true and we're nodding our heads, but we have to actually actively remember where our treasure comes from, or else it's going to be crowded out by all the things that I can go strive to gain for myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So much. And that's why I love the idea of just, you know, Advent starts just a couple weeks away. And if we can pause now to go, Lord, what do you want? What kind of script, what story are you writing in this season? And how can I posture myself before you to hear from you, to stand in faith, to encounter you? You know, I think so often, Ruth, that we, because the holiday has gotten so commercialized, some people just want to, you know, put the pedal to the metal and just sprint through it and get through it. But I feel like there's something of God to be experienced in this time, and people are more open to faith conversations during this time. So I just think it's wise to step back and go, what do you want to show me in this season? I'm going to make space and prepare room for you, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm.
You write this, a focus on self complicates and adds stress, but a focus on God's faithfulness simplifies and it frees our hearts to rejoice. You also write about in your Devo about how Christmas is a story of rescue. We touched on it before, but unpack that one a bit more.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we forget and just kind of feel cuddly about Christmas. We're like, oh, Jesus, the Savior of the world, he's somehow, and I, this is not obviously not from the Bible, but we somehow put the script and say, you know, Christmas is about God, like bringing us all together somehow. And somehow we're all just going to be one big happy family because we're celebrating Christmas. It's that warm fuzzy, right? But really it's because we were desperately in need of a Savior. We're still in desperate need of a Savior, that we were actually doomed and living wrecked lives and ultimately left up to ourselves in our own sin. We would ruin everything. And it may not always look like it from the outside with our nice cars and, you know, pretty makeup. But the truth is, we're going to live in emptiness, toiling and spinning around, stressed out, trying to control our own lives. That's why Jesus came. So the actual mission wasn't that he would just be born of in a manger and be like this this adorable child that everybody would adore, but that he would come and die and actually be the sacrifice that would make it possible for us to be in God's presence forevermore. And when I think of it that way, when I start going, what is the actual redemption story? It's a rescue mission. It's an actual story of rescue, which suddenly makes Christmas not just a warm fuzzy, but a time where I don't have to be serious or forlorn about it, but I have to realize, oh, this was an immense sacrifice. This was an intentional act of God. This was in the heart of God from the beginning of time, that he would bring us back to himself. That suddenly puts Christmas in a whole new light. I mean, even as I say it out loud here, Susie, with Christmas just being, you know, the Advent season just being a few weeks away, that suddenly removes all the pressure and the expectations that kind of settle onto my shoulders. It helps me remember and recalibrate and say, okay, what he really wants me to know right now is that this is a season where I need to remember that he moved heaven and earth. He came, although he condescended so that we might be with him, that he might be with us. And that withness is actually what we're really celebrating this Christmas season.
Wow. Amen. Amen. And as you're talking, I was thinking, Ruth, about when Jesus came, when he was born, you think about it, it's, and so it goes today. There were some who were living with a holy expectancy, and like Anna and Simeon, they saw him even when he was a baby. They knew he was Messiah. And others who had such a petrified kind of old mindset of one way, expectation, not expectancy, they missed him even when he was right in front of them, you know? And then the others who'd lived with no expectancy. And again, it is that way today. There are some who are just living in awe and wonder, knowing Jesus is alive and he's coming again. And to live with that awe and wonder, it's like it opens your eyes to not miss what God is doing. And others are like, well, I had an expectation, he didn't fulfill it, and they just sort of put it to the side. And but this is an invitation afresh, isn't it, to look for God, to listen for him.
Yes. And it's ready and available, but we have to kind of choose to say, I'm not going to be satisfied with other things this Christmas. I want to make room in my heart to hear what it is that I really can receive from this Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen. One more text I'll read. It says, as a small family dairy farmer, I spend every Christmas Eve, actually every morning and evening all year, milking cows. There's so few family dairies left that society's forgotten us and have their church services and activities during milking times. But I found myself becoming resentful and lonely at times. But then I remember where the Lord was born, in a stable with livestock, and I feel uniquely blessed and close to the Lord. I think that's so beautiful. I pray that God meets you in that place. Ruth, what do you know about God now that you didn't know or maybe know as deeply as you do now, like 5 years ago?
Well, you know, it takes a little time to realize that God is a God who keeps his promises, and time is not a thing for him. I think about what I, you know, years ago I would have thought, you know, I've been praying so hard about this. I've been really asking for him to give me discernment about this, and I just don't know, and I just don't know. But so many things, Susie, and I'm sure you can testify to this. What I know about him now is that sometimes prayers are answered 5 years later, 10 years later. Sometimes you realize that he absolutely answers those prayers, comes through, changes your heart about things, and you've just forgotten that you pleaded with him so many years ago. And so the truth is, he doesn't waste a thing, and there's no season wasted, and he doesn't forget. And so even
I have to jump in. I'm so sorry. Hard out here. We're done. Ruth, thank you for the time. Thank you for listening, guys. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.